For life.
Hey, hey, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? You know the name, you know the voice, you know exactly why I'm here. I am the microphone messiah, and I am joined by the former podcast champion, Brandon Tanguma, but the current bullet cast in the Bizank. BT, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Philip, doing just fine. Back here, another episode of the BC, just the two of us. Shout out Katie. She wanted to join us, but she's out of town. And you know, you guys know how that hotel Wi-Fi be working. I tried to do it in Chicago. It don't work. I forget exactly where she's at right now. But
bro,
y'all got to step your internet game up.
Bro, I make that Wi-Fi work at a Motel 6. What kind of hotels are y'all staying at? Like, come on, bro.
I have no idea.
Maybe y'all just need to go to Motel 6 because that Wi-Fi be crisp. Hello.
You just got to worry about some other things at Motel 6s. But the Wi-Fi, pristine.
Oh, no.
You got to worry about the roaches in the beds.
Oh, no, you just...
And the blood in the bathroom.
I've had no experiences of the such of the manner.
Good diddly-do for you.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, diddly-diddly. But, yeah, we are here to talk about a lot of things on the BC. Outside of the ring, Derek Drosnoff has unfortunately passed away. Draws is probably most notable for his role in the Beyond the Mat film, where he meets with Vince McMahon and he tells Vince he can puke on sight. And then Vince is like, oh my God, he's gonna puke. And then, you know, Draws is also a member of LOD 2000. And he's also most notable for having his match with D'Lo Brown and, you know, the powerbomb spot going wrong and him becoming paralyzed. Yeah, no, shout out Draws, man. Very, very memorable character from the Attitude Era, walking out in the, like, the cutoff pajamas or just going to work. Do you have any thoughts about the life and career of Derek Drosnoff?
I mean, the story of Draws is just really sad. You know, as you talked about, the spot with D'Lo ended his career and, you know, changed his life forever. And honestly, it's kind of miraculous that he kind of lived this long. Because he was just in the Dark Side of the Ring last season. I forget exactly which episode it was on, but he was there. And, you know, he looked like pretty good. He was, you know, in his wheelchair and he looked pretty healthy. And he was able to live a decently long life for someone in his situation. And The Rock tweeted out, you know, his condolences. And he talked about, because they were both football players, how they kind of, you know, bonded over that, talked about fishing and stuff. And it seems like he was just, you know, a good guy, chill dude, never really, you know, kind of a mid-carder down in the Attitude Era. But as you said, you know, the Beyond the Mat, Dark Side of the Ring, he just kind of seemed like a good guy. And you know, T's and P's, and you know, prayers up to his family, friends, and everyone who knew him.
Absolutely. RP Draws, you'll be missed, my brother. All right, Jerry McDevitt is nearing retirement, WWE's attorney. Brandon, tell us more about this.
So as you guys know, the MLW WWE trial or lawsuit is continuing on, and it's kind of hit a snail's pace right now. And Jerry McDevitt has taken himself out of counsel for WWE. He might also have to be an attorney. He might have to be a witness and blah, blah, blah. But the main thing he cited is that this trial or this lawsuit might be going on into 2025. And he is near retirement. And he's saying probably by the end of this year, 2023, he is going to hang him up. So, you know, someone who you don't really, you know, on the outside, don't really think of as someone in WWE, but he's been with Vince, you know, since the steroid trial in the early 90s. He's been with him forever, for better, for worse. And a key component into the WWE over the past 35 years.
What was this lawsuit about? What did Court Bauer was suing them, right?
Yeah, it was about like antitrust and kind of like, you know, WWE monopolizing. I forget exactly what the minute details are, but it's almost kind of like that. I forget exactly when this was filed. I think it was maybe after COVID, but it was kind of, you know, WWE being monopolistic and, you know, antitrust, you know, practices that they'd be doing.
I thought he wasn't suing over the whole War Games deal.
Yeah, well, I think that probably doesn't help as well.
Yeah.
But anyways, Jerry McDevitt, just a big name in WWE. Kind of the expansion, Gadsdare and all that other stuff. And if Jerry McDevitt wasn't WWE's lawyer, maybe Vince McMahon would have went to prison. We would have had Jerry Jarrett run like the mid to late 90s, and maybe WCW would have won the war. And who exactly knows where WWE would be today just because of this one lawyer.
Jerry McDevitt is a very silent player in the success of World Wrestling Entertainment and Vincent Kennedy McMahon. But elaborate more on like what exactly Court Bauer was trying to sue on. Like, what do we know the exact details?
Wow, now you're just going to ask me to give you all the exact details before I even look it up?
This is a part of your job, man.
Well, it's a part of my job if you smarten me up beforehand.
No, man, we have to call it on the fly, brother. We have to call it on the fly.
Let's see. We're just going to type in MLW lawsuit. Let's see.
Let's see what happens.
Let's see. On June 30th, WWE filed a new motion seeking an extension formally address the amend lawsuit brought forth by MLW. In their official filing, the WWE acknowledged that they have recently enlisted the services of new legal representation and expressed the need for sufficient time to thoroughly investigate the allegations. Can I not get ads reloading everything so I lose my spot reading? To investigate the allegations leveled against them by MLW, MLW has agreed to the adjusted timeline with WWE, now required to prove their response by August 14th. Last month, WWE requested to have the lawsuit against MLW dismissed. However, the court ruled against WWE's motion, and it has allowed the lawsuit to move forward. You can read about that here. Wrestling, can I just actually see what the actual lawsuit is? Apparently not. See, this is what's the problem with those goddamn dirt sheets. They're just clickbaiting you, and they're not giving you the news and the actual information that you should be doing. And I do not need an advertisement about Paramount Plus. I already have Paramount Plus. Shout out Ty Gundy, even though I don't really use it all that much. Anyways, back in January 2022, MLW filed a lawsuit against WWE against accusing the company of engaging in anti-competitive practices and torturous interference. MLW alleges that WWE used its influence to prevent MLW from securing television deals with a major network. They claimed that WWE's actions, once again, quit loading, hindered MLW's growth and violated antitrust laws. So, bam.
Okay.
Not to do with talent, had to do with television rights.
There we go with television rights. All right. Wow. That's interesting. I love. Okay. All right. I see. Yeah, what are you gonna do? Well, I mean, like, but they're on Reels and Vice. I mean, where were they gonna go? They weren't gonna go to USA or Fox. What was WWE really trying to keep them from doing?
Well, I mean, these days everybody owns everything. So if WWE has, I mean, let's see, if they do Dark Side of the Ring, WWE isn't like with them per se, but they have some people who know WWE, and as I said, we're not in the weeds right now of the actual lawsuit and of the trial, so we don't have everything kind of unearthed. Let's see, MLW alleges that, anyways. There's a whole long ass statement that they filed, and I'm not going to sit here for 10 minutes and read the whole thing, but
yeah, well.
It seems as though this will go to trial, and it will be interesting.
We shall see. We'll have to probably wait till 2025. God, will we still be here?
Stay tuned. Episode 500 will cover the WWE MLW lawsuit.
Yes, yes, yes. Eddie Kingston has finally won gold in New Japan. He defeated Kenta in Corgan Hall to win the New Japan Strong Openweight Championship. You can see how much it meant to Eddie Kingston. This was truly one of his dream when he was a kid in New York. So, congrats to him, man. I'm happy for Eddie. I really am.
Yeah, shout out Eddie. Longtime fan of Japanese wrestling, being able to wrestle, let alone win a title in Currican Hall, obviously meant a big deal for him. And he's going to be wrestling in the G1 next month. And I mean, shout out Eddie. I keep saying he's going to be the one to dethrone MJF. And he's been in the business for a long time, and he's kind of hitting his stride later in life, and it is nice to see.
It is nice to see, indeed. Tribal Court is this Friday. The Usos will put on trial the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Champion. The head of the table, our Tribal Chief, Mr. Roman Reigns. What can we expect from Tribal Court? I know we kind of alluded at it on the Money in the Bank recap, which you can go watch in our archives and listen. But what, Brandon, what do you think we can expect?
Honestly, I have no idea because it's just kind of like a name and a gimmick. Maybe like the Usos are going to like challenge that Roman Reigns isn't the tribal chief. But does that mean like Roman's gonna like actually show up and play along, or is it just like the Usos having some fun and like talking ish about Roman? That's what I kind of don't get. Like, it's a cool name and it's like, oh, the tribal court, but what exactly is that? It just kind of seems like a gimmick for the sake of being a gimmick. Now, I mean, pretty much everything the Bloodline does is fantastic, so I don't have any doubts that it that this won't be, but I just don't understand and don't know what exactly they're trying to get at here.
What kind of mental state would Roman be in? I think we need to, that's one of the things we really need to talk about. I mean, we've seen the video, we saw the meltdown.
And also, he's banned on TikTok, so he's just going through it this week.
He is clutching on to that undisputed title as we speak.
I know. I mean, yeah, I know we talked about it on Money in the Bank recap, but I think we're going to get like a darker, more angrier Roman Reigns. And maybe, you know, the past year, 2 years, as the dogs go absolutely crazy, that they, you know, he starts winning like on his own and he becomes like an even scarier force.
You remember when Neville lost the Cruiserweight title and he had like those bags under his eyes and he looked like psychotic? Think Roman will look something like that?
Maybe something like that, not the exact same disheveled look.
Because whenever he loses the title, I think he should just like become a madman and just lose it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got some gray in his beard. I don't know if he colors it or what, but maybe if he kind of goes that route and like really kind of goes the disheveled route and
And goes away.
just looks like a shell of himself. Like
Yeah.
that, I mean, that could be like, as I said, we've been doing this for damn near 3 years at this point. So if we can kind of get an evolution of Roman Reigns and still keep him a heel, I'm all for it.
Absolutely. Look like gray-haired Iron, or what was it, Aquaman, Jason Momoa.
I mean, I saw a photo on Twitter yesterday of Tommaso Ciampa when he actually grew his hair out. And it was like just, you know, horseshoe peppered up hair. And obviously, Roman, he has a beautiful head of hair, but, you
Yes.
know, something like that.
He uses L'Oreal, you know. Look at that luscious, look at those luscious locks. Yeah.
Beautiful head of hair. If only I could have that type of hair.
Hey, man.
But no, I'm hanging on to what I got.
What you got, bro? You want some keeps, bro? You want some Rogaine? Some
Actually,
Vodka?
you know, shout out to the keeps. I am on the keeps. I take my hair pills every single day with my little gummy vitamins.
How is it, how is it, how is it doing?
Well, I don't know if I can say it's except well, it's not getting any worse, so I guess that's a positive. I'm not exactly, you know, growing my hair out and looking like you know, Roman Reigns or have the strongest hairline in the world.
Remember when I was bald, bro? Do you remember those days?
I do remember those days. And the
Hey,
next thing you
man.
know, he just showed up with a full head of hair. I don't know what happened.
Hey, you want some of the stuff I got, man?
I've been smartened up to some of the things you got.
I mean, hey, man. I mean, this hair crack conditioner that was made in the kitchen or something. This is I basically
Not
have this.
FDA approved.
Guys, if you've ever seen Beauty Shop, you know what I'm talking about. Shout out Queen Latifah, the hair crack conditioner she was having in the movie. That's basically what I have. I have it. Yeah.
If you guys want to look just like Philip, hit him up. He can sell you a bottle.
Hit me up. Yes. All right, let's go into the fan mail. Dun 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 dun. Maybe that should be the fan mail theme song.
I mean, why would you have a theme song for fan mail? That's just a stupid idea.
Dun da 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 da. All right, I'm done. Dan, Roman saying he's a narcissist on TV on SmackDown was a nice little touch because it hasn't been done yet. And for the Usos to say Solo was the next tribal chief was a great way to stir the pot, and the way Roman and Solo looked at each other, Roman knows it's gonna Solo is the real one.
Well, I mean, we have seen a narcissist on WWE television before. Didn't work out for him, but
I mean, no, but I mean, but it's working out pretty well for Roman Reigns. I mean, can we be wrong?
you know, Roman Reigns, Lex Luger, not exactly. the same person.
Yeah, not exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I talked about how maybe they're doing a slow build to Solo and Roman. Maybe, you know, kind of similar to what they did with Jay. Like, they show cracks, Solo gets in line, and then next year we get the eventual turn. Because I think, like, well, if you really want to go down the hill of Roma just completely falling apart, you could do it. But Solo still, I would say, needs some, you know, needs some, not teachings, but, you know, kind of round out his character a little bit more. And I just don't know if you just throw him out there by himself, what exactly he would do.
Yeah. Did you see the look on Solo's face when the Usos kicked out and Roman was like, what the hell? And Solo looked at him like, you really didn't put them away? Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Hootie Who 420.
Hootie Who.
Mates, impeccable storytelling at Money in the Bank. Every segment, every match, there was a story being told, and I absolutely loved it. And I mean, for Roman Reigns to get pinned by Jay, the cinema that the kids talk about is top-notch. Yes, sir.
I mean, was there a story with Shayna Baszler just attacking Ronda Rousey for, like, no reason?
Yes, yeah, so it played out on Monday night.
I mean, I guess we'll talk about it, but said a whole lot of nothing.
I mean, yeah, there was a story, you know, Baszler and Ronda, you know, they'd been attacking Raquel, and then, you know, her partner came back. There was a story there.
I mean, there was a story being told, and then they just completely threw all that out the window and told a completely different story that made no sense.
It made sense once we got to Monday night. You have to let things play out, man. God, I keep telling you this. Robert Walker, MJF and Adam Cole are great together. It's fun and it's refreshing to see MJF in this kind of role. And honestly, he looks like he's having a lot of fun. I believe Maxwell is. Dan, the Judgment Day is falling apart in front of our eyes, so who gets kicked out? Is it Finn? Is it Damian? Or is it both?
I do wonder if they, like, go their separate ways. You know, Finn does his thing, Damien does his thing, and then, you know, Mommy and Dominic are just kind of there. So, because I mean, we already had like one, this is already the second iteration, or even third iteration, if you want to call, you know, say Dominic being added. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think I need another Judgment Day where if we add a different person or if it's just a threesome. Well, I've been told by the higher ups to just meander because someone may be, you know, trying to get some fuel into their system. Anyways, Judgment Day, where does it go? I have no clue. Because as I said on Money in the Bank recap, maybe Damian Priest is going to go heel and Finn turns babyface. But then this time on Monday, no clue where they're going. They're just both bickering little children.
They are. Nigerian Prince, I'm here for NXT Underground. I liked it. It was a cool way to highlight Kemp and Thorne. Yes. Shout out Carl.
Kevin Frankers. Thorne?
Kemp and Thorne.
Oh, okay. I was like,
shout out Carl Fredericks. Let's talk about Monday Night Raw. The Judgment Day is in disarray. We saw a lot of things happen. Yeah, they're out there with Seth Rollins, and, you know, they're having their segment, and Rollins is like, I'm an expert in Money in the Bank. This seems like a trap, but I'm, you know, I'll fight Dirty Dom. So then, you know, they do that, and it all leads to them trying to, or Damian really trying to cash in on Seth. Finn runs out there, attacks Seth. He's about to stomp him. Damian's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And Finn's like, me? What are you doing? Yeah, you cost me, you know? And they're just arguing, and Rollins is able to scurry away, but not before he hits a pedigree on Dominic. Thoughts?
Yeah, you know, kind of more of that filler at the end of Raw, just kind of have Seth and Finn and Damian and Judgment Day just kind of go out there and fill 15 to 20 minutes. But and as we said earlier, the Judgment Day does seem like it's on the road to collapse, whether everyone just goes their separate ways, if one person gets kicked out. I have no clue. But yeah, I do wonder where this leads for Seth at SummerSlam. Like, are we getting a triple threat match with Finn and Damian? a maybe, or you know, someone else just kind of comes out of nowhere, and you know, Finn and Damian go off and do their own thing, and then someone else comes in to challenge Seth for the championship.
Well, that did happen at well, we thought it was going to happen at the beginning of Raw. Seth is out there, and then Cody's music hits, and honestly, Seth kind of looked like he saw a ghost from his past, and Cody was about to hit this. So, what do you want to talk about? But then Lesnar's music hits, and Cody becomes enraged, and they start brawling. Cody catches him with a Cody cutter, so it looks like we are going to get the rubber match at SummerSlam, hopefully. I mean, that's where all this has to be leading to, Cody and Brock.
I guess WWE didn't want to pay Brock to fly out to London, or Brock didn't want to go to London. So, but yeah, we kind of saw this one coming. Brock was going to show up eventually, and we're going to get the rubber match at SummerSlam. And it was quick. It was an okay like little segment, just kind of reminded like, oh yeah, Brock's here, and now we're going to get that in what, August 5th? So about a month, so 4 more weeks of television to kind of. Well, I
29
don't even know if
days
they
from
really need to
tonight.
flesh anything out. It's just, you beat me, I beat you, you broke my wrist, and we're gonna fight it out at SummerSlam.
Yeah, 29 days. I'm excited. Rhea Ripley retains in a competitive match with Natty, I shall say. Rhea teasing the frog splash and Natalya blocking that beautifully, and the way Rhea sold that was nice. But all in all, Rhea deadlift. Riptide for the big win.
Yeah, surprisingly competitive match from Natty. She continues to sulk on Twitter and say like, oh, I gotta change things up. And you know, Natty's always been a solid wrestler, and if she's, you know, given the opportunity and you know, given the time, they can tell a decent little story, and they did that here. I don't know what else he can get out of Natalya at this point, honestly, but with the, you know, lack of depth on the women's side, I think you kind of need her. But also, you need to build her up and change it. And I just don't know what that is. Like, how do you change the Natalya character?
So
Besides.
are you basically calling Natalia a good hand?
I mean, like, at this point, that kind of like what she is at this point. She's there. We don't expect her. She, you know, might win a squash match or two. She might win, you know, a mid-card match, but we don't expect her to defeat Rhea Ripley for, you know, for the championship.
Never call a Canadian a good hand. Do you not remember the last time this happened?
Well, I don't care about Canadians' feelings, Philip. You should know that.
Do you not remember the last time a Canadian was called a good hand? Do you not remember?
I don't, because I don't like to remember about Canadians.
When Sean Spears was called a good hand and he smacked Cody over the head with a chair at what was it, Beach Break or whatever? Or I think Fight for the Fallen, one of the 2019. Do you not remember these things?
If once again, if it involves a Canadian, I don't have to think about it.
Really?
And just block that out of my memory.
Aren't you an edgehead?
No, my mom is an edgehead.
You're not an edgehead.
He's okay.
You're a Brett guy.
I have disparaged Brett in the past, but I may or may not be coming around to Brett a little bit.
Really? You
He's
know
almost
what,
kind of
guy?
like he's almost kind of like William Regal. As a kid, I hated William Regal. I thought he was so boring. And then now, in my later years, I've come around to appreciate him.
Are you an Owen guy?
Always been an Owen guy. Owen over Brett all day.
I know a Canadian you're a fan of. Trish Stratus. Broken Nose Trish is back. The face mask from back in the day has returned. Thoughts? What are your teas? What are your teas?
Hey, yeah, it was funny. You know, she had the black cowboy hat, and then she just threw it to the side. I thought like the gimmick would have been her trying to hide her face, but anyways, you know, it was a good callback. I don't think she, like, her nose is actually broken. I think she just kind of got roughed up a little bit, but yeah, you know, Trish kind of going through her evolution, kind of in this run, is fun to see. And once again, Trish and Becky doing a lot of the heavy lifting while Zoe just kind of stands in the background. Kind of shows that. Zoe still needs a lot of work on the mic, but yeah, it was fun. I don't know, is this leading to a tag team match? Because we still haven't seen Lita. Lita got attacked by Trish, and she's just been dead. I'm still trying to find her. I keep going on BART, going down to, you know, all the stops on BART in San Francisco, but I still have not been able to find her.
Just go to Hood Slam. That's where she pops up, bro.
Well, that's on me. That's an oversight on my part. I've been focusing too much on San Francisco, and I haven't looked at Oakland.
Speaking of mic work, you know who surprised me? Shayna Baszler. Great promo. Great promo to Ronda Rousey. Talks about she's sorry for bringing her into this business. You know, Shayna talks about how she had to file an application, how she had to try out, but she just waltzed in and went straight to WrestleMania. Shayna has to be the baby face in this. She has to.
And that's the other thing that's the issue with this is they are not making that the case. Shayna lays out Ronda. They're going for sympathy, but I don't think it's going to work. I mean, how many times you have to try to make Ronda the baby face to realize, like, no, she's just going to be a heel. But I mean, I know you're more sympathetic on the story they're telling. I still just kind of rolled my eyes like it made zero sense because Shayna and Ronda were all happy, happy go lucky. They've been buddies for a while. And then just out of nowhere, Shayna turns on her.
Well, this has
Like,
been building for quite some time.
but if you watch the television, they were just the happiest two little peas in a pod being the tag team champions.
Well, it closed doors, man. You can present something some way, and then it can be different behind closed doors, man. You can present a happy-go-lucky front in front of people, and then once you're behind closed doors, the problems can arrive and can get stirred up. That's what was going on. I believe it. I believe
But
that's what
I
was
mean, she
going
didn't
on.
even say that. She was like, she just basically seemed like I hated you the entire time. It wasn't even like I presented myself to like you, to lure you in. And then, when your guard was down, then I attacked you. No, that wasn't even the case. It was just, yeah, I've just hated you this entire time. And even though we've had like 10 years of history together and more than 10 years of history, since the Ultimate Fighter, that I'm just going to throw that out the window. I've been playing the long game and now I attacked you. On this kind of random Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Shayna is a patient. She's a patient person. She let it build up for all that time, and then she picked her moment.
Exactly. Shayna Baszler, still the APW World Women's Champion.
Yes, one of the best ever. Maxine Dupri picks up a big win.
Yeah, I mean, she got a
Are
win
you
over
not a fan of Maxine Dupri?
Well, I mean,
I'm a fan.
she did get the win. She didn't exactly do too much. Valhalla, Sarah Logan, whatever the hell you want to call her, part of the Viking War Raider
Valhalla.
experience.
They did change her name to that, huh? Is she
Yeah.
wrestling barefoot? Is she not wearing shoes? Like,
She is not wrestling barefoot, or she is wrestling barefoot.
like that. I don't know what's up with the, like it seems uncomfortable. Like that just seems like that would be very uncomfortable.
Well, just like Rusev, you're one ankle roll away from putting those boots on, brother.
I gotta talk to Big Oos. Like I gotta tell my guy to wear some shoes. Like that just looks like.
Well, I mean, at least like the Samoans will tape their ankles. She's just going barefoot, barefoot,
Sure.
barefoot,
I
like
mean,
Ritter.
Rusev was taping his ankles too until he rolled one. Like you gotta.
Must be this white privilege because, Sarah Logan doesn't tape her ankles, Riddle doesn't tape her ankles. Just saying. They just think nothing bad's going to happen to them until it does. Well,
That's
I mean, we
true.
saw what happened with Riddle and his bare feet. Gunther just tore those things up.
Yeah. NXT. Carmelo has challenged the Judgment Day to come down to NXT. And Finn is accepted on the Judgment Day's behalf. Interesting.
I
There
mean,
is things happening on NXT, man.
we're getting a lot of main roster people coming down on NXT. I mean, cool, I guess. Whether you want to say it's like a ratings ploy to try to get some numbies up. Didn't exactly work with Baron Corbin.
You want to talk about ratings ploys? You want to talk about numbers? Look, did we talk about Collision?
Well, we talk
One
about
thing.
Collision selling like 1,500 tickets, if that,
Some
for
things
this
just work
next
out,
show in
man.
Regina.
Yeah. Regina. But yeah, no, Judgment Day coming down. I'm interested to see what happens there.
Yeah, I mean, what I forget exact is it it should be fine. But I think that also kind of showcases like the top main event men's division at NXT. It's not there right now. So that they rely heavily on main roster guys coming down.
We're going through a little bit of a period, so we'll see. We'll see. NXT Underground made a return. It was Desmond Kemp going up against Eddie Thorpe, the former Carl Fredericks, the most interviewed guest on the BC, I might add. Yes, sir. I liked it. It was cool. That suplex from the ring to the floor. I was like, oh my God, Carl. Hope you're okay, buddy.
I mean, I'm a fan of the MMA, WWE, MMA wrestling crossover. This was fine. It was definitely like maybe the best match we've seen on Raw Underground. It's been a while since they've had it, but I thought it was just, a fun, crisp little match. It was, nothing on blood. It's not a blood sport type match, but for a WWE MMA type of match, I thought it was perfectly fine. And as you said, that suplex spot was nasty. Also, the dynamic of Gable Steveson on the outside was kind of weird because they were definitely playing up that Steveson and Kemp are brothers, except for Eddie, like obviously knowing that. And we were like, okay, is Eddie just gonna look like a complete idiot when Stevenson turns on him? But nope, that didn't happen. Stevenson was just the coach, and he was happy to see Eddie win. They celebrated, and then whatever reason, the schmucks from the performance center stepped to Stevenson, and he just threw them all around. So yeah, I don't know what was up with that.
My guy, Gable Steveson, did, what was it, a belly-to-belly or a German suplex, but nipped up. Like, there was enough momentum on the snap that he nipped up after. This guy's great. What an athlete. What an athlete this man is.
I mean, is he still technically drafted to Raw, but because there was another draft after that, does it just reset and he's now his free agent?
Yes, that's how that
Okay.
works.
Okay.
Oh, there's a video package for Baron Corbin on NXT, which I really liked. He burned all the past gimmicks. I liked it. I thought it was a great way to truly repackage him, And he talked about all the things people talk about, like, oh, who's Corbin gonna lose to next, and who's he gonna get fed to next, and things like that. So he alluded at all the things that you've talked about and other people do talk about. So I thought that was a nice touch. I really did.
I mean, I thought it was a good promo, a good little vignette. I do wonder what this means for Baron Corbin, because when Corbin isn't like full into like a gimmick, it just kind of falls flat. So I do wonder what he is going to do if he's just going to be Baron Corbin. I don't think that exactly works, because the Lone Wolf was over, happy, sad Corbin was over kind of at a lower level. But when he's just kind of Baron Corbin, even like in NXT, like he was just Baron Corbin, and then he turned it up by bringing back the Lone Wolf. That kind of perks people's ears up, and the rest is history. So I do think, I feel like Corbin kind of needs a gimmick to kind of stand out. I just don't know, what that gimmick is.
Let him just go back to being a silent badass, man. I think that's the way to go. I liked how he had like the wolf's head on like his mantle in his home. I thought it was a nice touch. He burned the constable vest. Like he, it was just it was great. It was a great way to kind of reset him. I like that. I really do. Braun Breaker and Ilya Dragunov have a massive brawl, so they're going to be wrestling each other soon. That's going to be interesting. I'd give Braun a nice win because he's taking some L's.
Yeah, it should be a really fun match. Ilya and Braun, two of the, as I said, the top male wrestlers are kind of few and far between, but they definitely are, number two and three, I would say, on the NXT men's roster. So it should be a really fun match. I do wonder what's next for both of them, because I think both of them are main roster ready. Two different types of acts, two different characters. So yeah, we should find out. Also, you didn't put it on the script, but the main event of NXT, we had a loser leaves NXT match, and we all thought it was gonna be the Dyad because allegedly their contract's coming through. But no, the Creed's lost. So does that mean that we're gonna see the Creed soon on main roster television?
Possibly, man. I mean, freshen things up. I like it.
Maybe. I mean, their gimmick is just kind of like the wrestlers, and I think they have like a good dynamic together in promos. Now, you don't need to break them up, obviously, soon, but I do wonder how their characters will evolve on the main roster.
I mean, I could see them like having a feud with the Alpha Academy and things like that, and yeah.
I was thinking if they would go under their wing, because, amateur wrestlers kind of same style, but they do lean very heavily into the comedy, but the Creeds have shown some personality on NXT. So it could work, but I think they're maybe a little bit better. And if you are with Alpha Academy, you're kind of pigeonholed in kind of the lower mid card.
Maybe they can break out and it'll make Chad Gable jealous. Thank you.
going back to the Mac, go back to the Maxine Dupri. I don't know how long they can have her just, you know, do some arm drags and, you know, suplexes. Like, she needs to actually be able to wrestle.
Hey,
if she is
more.
Gonna be a wrestler.
Less is more, man. You heard that. You heard that, crowd. Less is more.
Maybe she can only do that for a couple, like a month or two, and
a
then
month
people
or
are gonna
two.
Go, okay, one tour, one loop, and
One
then.
Bro, did we not watch people do less for years? I think she'll be all right. Eventually,
Well,
she'll turn it up.
Maxine Dupri isn't exactly Andre the Giant.
Well, no, but I didn't even drop names. Nobody said she was Andre the Giant.
Well, you just said a lot of people did less with more.
Yeah.
Anyways, AEW.
Adam Cole and MJF are magic, which they are. They're the tag match. We've seen the video packages. MJF, you know, threw a little birthday for Adam Cole in the ring, sang him happy birthday. What a majestic voice that young man has. I want Adam Cole to really enjoy this time with Maxwell, because look, I want Maxwell to sing me happy birthday. When's your birthday's coming up, right? In a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see
Someone
if,
remembered.
I'll see if we can get something done here, man, for you.
Oh,
would you
thank
like
you.
that?
We'll see. We'll see. But I do kind of have mixed feelings on the pairing. Like, it is entertaining. Like, you know, it's fun to see them kind of go back and forth. And I think MJF is fun and entertaining in his, you know, disingenuous babyface role. But it does kind of pull the two characters in kind of opposite directions of what you're trying to go for. Like, Cole is just a babyface, and he's kind of leaning into the MJF heelish tendencies, which I don't know if that's good. And then we just got over the fact of MJF, you know, being cheered on his comeback, and then now we're kind of reverting back to that and asking for cheers. Now, I think in the moment, it's fun. It's a good time. I just wonder what happens after the fact of how the characters are going to be afterward. And, like, Adam Cole cannot get duped by this. Like, I know he's having a little bit of fun. They kind of tease, like, oh, yeah, thanks, Max, for everything you did. That was a good time. Now, he can't be full-blown Chris Jericho at the Festival of Friendship and just get blindsided by this. He has to know it's coming, or he has to be the one that, you know, pulls a rug out from under MJF.
Look, I'm sure that's where they'll go. Adam Cole's he's a smart cookie. MJF, you know, doing the Roddy Strong part of the Undisputed Era entrance was fun. Good stuff, man. That's good stuff. Better than you, baby. Do they have shirts out? Can I get one? Are those available?
Well, I mean, the amount of times MJF has been plugging it, I would assume they have it.
Tony Khan, we're going to need some of those, buddy. Omega defeats Wheeler Yuta. And then, you know, Claudio comes out there. Then the rest of the Elite come out there. And then John Silver stops or grabs Hangman's chair. Stuff happened.
Yeah, and they were a little late. They were over time because I'm not at my house, so I forgot to record it. And so I did, but I didn't put an extension on it. And it cut out right when the Young Bucks were making the save. But I was able to see the ending on the internet. But yeah, I mean, the match itself with Kenny and Yuta was really good. Maybe a little bit under expectations, because I think people had high expectations for this match, but it was still really good. And they fit a lot of stuff at the very, very end.
Yeah,
with the Young Bucks and then Dark
Kinosuke
Order coming out.
Running in and stuff.
But yeah, I don't know how the Dark Order kind of fits into this, because they've mainly just kind of been like a Be in the Elite type thing. So now we're going to kind of get them on television on Dynamite to kind of have them interact with the Elite. I don't know.
I really didn't know they were still a thing.
Yeah, I mean, everyone just has left them, and it's just been the three of them, the three amigos. We are getting Blood and Guts July 19th, the day after a very important day on the calendar. And both people,
you and Mandy Rose, right?
Yeah, and Al Snow, shout out.
What does everybody want? What does everybody need?
Head. But both teams are going to get a mystery opponent or a surprise opponent. I would presume we're going to get those announced before the match starts.
Surprise partners, you know, right?
Yeah, Kota Ibushi is one people are kind of thinking of.
It's not him.
I don't know. Chris Jericho, you know, Chris Jericho may be a part of the BCC.
Maybe part of the Don Callis family. Yeah, because they had a segment, they talked about how they helped each other in their careers, and Callis is the invisible hand of the New Japan match with Kenny and all these other things. Blah 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 blah. And Jericho said he may join the family.
Maybe, Jericho said he's been losing a lot and maybe it's time for him to switch things up and being very babyfacious, easy for me to say, in Canada, which is easy for him to do. And I do agree. I think it is time for him to kind of switch things up. The JAS has kind of run its course. It's very similar to the Inner Circle. And so I think it was already kind of a retread when it started. And whether I don't think he will go with Callis. Maybe we get like the full-fledged embrace the Cheers babyface run of Chris Jericho because we haven't really had that yet in AEW. And who knows how much longer he has as like a full-time guy. So maybe this is kind of his last babyface run. And I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I do think that would be a lot of fun. Let's get babyface Jericho. And then Nick Wayne, who's somebody we've watched out here, if we know for West Coast Pro, he had a video package play. Darby Allin talked about how, he was trained by his dad. And, when his dad died, he vowed he would look out for him. Nick Wayne makes his AEW debut next week.
Yeah, he's facing a Swerve Strickland, someone he knows very well. Beat him for the Defy Championship. And, yeah, as you said, we've seen Nick Wayne in person. Haven't seen too much of his Defy or other indie stuff. I've only really seen him live in person. But, I've been impressed. I think he's a really good worker, really good in-ring guy. The question's going to be what is his character and what can he do on the mic? Because there's a lot of people in AEW that can wrestle well. Maybe the move is to put him in ROH and kind of have him, get some seasoning there. But, at 18, he's got plenty of time to go. And we've seen some of these, like a Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay was a phenom, not as young of an age as Nick Wayne, but we've seen what he's become now in his like late 20s.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Nick Wayne, throw him over in Ring of Honor. Titus Alexander's popped up over there, and so they could kind of revisit what they did on the Indies out here. But hey, man, speaking of Titus Alexander, he's the West Coast Pro Heavyweight Champion.
And, you don't say.
Yeah, I don't say, right? And, West Coast Pro has a show this weekend. Did you know that?
What? Tell me more.
I'll tell you more? I will. West Coast Pro Cruel Summer 2023, the Irish Cultural Center in San Francisco, July 8th. You don't want to miss it. You got Lights, Camera, Faction going up against Jaya Jewel, JT Thorne, Cubs, and Serza, who makes his return. You have Kevin Blackwood going up against Robert Martyr, Brian Keith going up against Mao, Masha Slamovich defending the West Coast Pro Women's title against Trisha Dora, Lariat Tugman herself. You have Johnny Robbie and Nicole Savoy going up against Magenta. I believe that's how you say that name. Los Suavecitos going up against Kushida, Kevin Knight, and Starboy Charlie. Jeff Cobb takes on Alpha Zoke. And the Bullet Cast champion pick up a big win over Jeff Cobb? And the main event, Vinny Massaro, the final boss of the West Coast, challenges Titus Alexander for the West Coast Pro Championship. Not only that, you also have Realm of Warriors this weekend. You can see all your favorites, Big Fonz, the Battle King, Dave Dutra, Tarzan Duran, South Pacific Savages, Jacob Fatu, Journey Fatu, and Big Juicy Finau. And of course, Stockton Con is this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Brandon and I will be in attendance. Go see all your favorites. There's going to be a Futurama reunion. You don't want to miss that. American Pie, Thomas Ian Nicholas and Tara Reid, they played Kevin and Vicky in the hit franchise. They will be in attendance as well. Edward James Olmos, he was in Stand and Deliver, Miami Vice, very famous actor. And of course, the wrestlers that will be there, the Hall of Famer, the legendary Sergeant Slaughter, and Danhausen. Gotta love that Danhausen. All that and more this weekend. Yes, so go check out West Coast Pro, go check out Realm of Warriors and Lodi, and then go check out Stockton Con both days. A lot of stuff going on in the Bay Area. This is the kickstart to the big weekend going on, or in just in NorCal in general. Thank you guys so much. As always, be safe and stay dangerous. Be yes, sir. When you turn it on, it's just defining the mind. If you feel it, our opinion's straight. When everything we moving now with the state, turn us on if the feeling is right.
Every opinion now comes from the heart. No time we move with the ball. We on the radio, it's wrestling. Time's a crushing. Here is the feeling in the pool. Get the lesson. And if you want to prove it to you now, here's the feeling in the time and everything that we did. Listen to the senators connecting it. Moving on everything that's pronouncing it. Everything we did in the time now with the testament. Here is the feeling when we live on the stage. It's everything we do, turning the page. Nobody doesn't like us. The feeling when we move, we are excited. Elite podcasting. I know you like it. Yeah, the Bullet Cast. Feel us. The Bullet Cast. Feel us. The Bullet Cast. Feel us. Elite podcasting. We are. The Bullet Cast now. Feel us. The Bullet Cast now. Feel us.
This has been the Bullet Cast. Thank you for listening.